didn't know that that was going to happen.
I don't know, like an ejaculation, maybe?
Wait. Okay, what? Huh?
I said kind of like an ejaculation.
Nah, you always know when that's going to happen. You don't know when it's a woman, though. You always know when it's a man.
Hey.
It's like they announce it.
So you're listening to Intellectual Kink.
We are Intellectual Kink.
I'm Service Slut.
And I am Insidious Muse.
And we've played musical fucking chairs.
We did. It's really weird.
And if you're watching us on live stream, you can see that.
Hi.
There's that.
So there she's there. And I'm here. And I'm here too.
And you're freaking out about it, aren't you?
No, it's cool.
Okay. All right.
It's cool. You get used to it.
All right, cool.
It's like the cameras aren't there. So you know how I often when things happen, I say, you know, sometimes I'm both overjoyed and really upset that there's no camera with us because some really embarrassing shit happened.
I'm really excited for when you have a little ADHD moment and everyone gets to see the motions that go with the silly fucking noises that come out of your mouth. So we did something really awesome during the weekend.
Well, and if you listened to the show last week, you were aware that this was happening.
Yes.
Which was?
My birthday.
Well, it was your birthday.
And a swingers party.
And a swingers party.
Which was fantastic. And I think that was probably like one of the best like birthday presents ever because I love watching people fuck.
It really is like one of your things. Fuck. It is one of your things.
I mean, it's not so much. I mean, yes, I am a joyful pervert. But part of it is that, you know, you talk to people, you get to know them. And you see their relationship and their fucking.
Okay.
You see oh my God. Like there was a couple there.
Oh.
And
I'm like, what are you doing? Is there a house on your head?
Giving you the fucking hand motion for her name. Okay. Keep up.
It was looked like a house. YMCA. I don't know what was going on, how that was happening.
Love that. Anyways.
You just did the truth.
anyways.
What a.
So, you know, sweetest couple, very quiet, very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fucking like savages.
Yeah, well, she's a part of one of our kinky groups.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, I mean, seeing them and they're so friendly and both very intelligent, I felt engaged with them. I felt connected. Ah. And I thought, I really want to watch you have sex now. And
is that what it takes? I thought it was just like anybody.
No, well, no, it's not just anybody. Because let's say there's some people I do not want to see fuck.
Well, yeah. Usually they're really ugly.
You're so vain.
I'm just saying, you know, on a cursory view, I mean, unless it's like just an asshole, you're like, I don't want to watch you. You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. But so I did watch them fuck and I mean, God damn it. He was clawing at her and just like,
it was very primal.
Oh, it was. And I was sitting on the floor, kind of close to the bed. Well, not, the room isn't that big, but I was sitting like close to the bed. You know, my legs crossed, just kind of like, just going on. And like out of the corner of my eye, I could see like mostly it was just men that would stop and look. And I think because, I mean, they weren't all kinky.
Yeah.
And I think to them, it was like, dude, like,
what are they doing?
What the fuck?
He pulled out his belt.
And he smacked her with it.
He was hitting her with his belt.
Holy shit. So I think that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was just fun. It was great. And then prior to that, I got wrist deep into our one of our favorite vaginas.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I loved the symmetry of her fucking lips. Oh, my God.
She had a really, really attractive vagina.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, she's a just gorgeous woman to begin with. And her body is like, ba-bam, and like fucking awesome. And her tits are, oh, my God, and her ass, ding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It would make sense that then her vagina would be equally as ba-bam. I mean, it was like, whoa.
It was as if though someone had like carved it.
Yes.
It was just, it was beautiful.
Yes, it was really interesting because, you know, I've seen you fist a lot of people. But you really took, like, there was you paused and, like, you looked at it. Like, it was a piece of art. Like, you were like, before you normally, you see a vagina and you're like, I want to get in there. But this one, you just stopped and looked, like, stare. That's what you did on her vagina. It was really kind of a moment. I was like, I got the lube. What we doing? I'm ready. What's going on?
No, but I felt, well, and I mean, she was so nice enough to, like, spread her legs like that and, like, how many people were watching? I mean, it was outside in the backyard.
She is a swinger.
I understand.
You know, we've seen her take the hammer.
Yeah, but that to me doesn't still take away, that doesn't take away from, you know, the respect that I want to give.
Valid.
You know, yeah. That's just, I am a dental lady. yeah, she almost, and it wasn't even until, I think, Monday afternoon that, like, the joint in my thumb stopped aching because, holy shit.
Well, yeah, it didn't help that her guy was doing shit that made her, like, clench up. And
yeah.
Okay, can I just say very quickly?
Yeah.
So her guy is there and, like, talking to her and doing whatever. And whatever's happening to your hand. But he says, you can't come. And she's like, oh. And then he says, okay, you can come. And, like, on fucking cue,
yeah. She
came. And I was like, crazy impressive.
Yeah.
Like, there's impressive. No way I'd be like, okay, I need some buildup again. No, she was like holding off like a fucking dam. And then, bam, I was like, wow. Like,
yeah.
Is there a seminar for that? Oh, wait, I don't have to learn that. But damn, that is wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. And so while I had my fist in there, he would do things to her and like, she should just close up just close up.
Yeah, yeah.
And be done. And be like, I'm still inside. Let me out.
It was like a lobster trap. You couldn't get out. Sorry.
But one of our guests that I was so happy to see him there. I was so happy.
Is our very own Jeremy.
Yes. The very, our mogul.
He is. He is the CEO, the man, the myth, the legend. And he was there and he brought a filly.
He brought.
And you saw some stuff.
I made fucking sure I saw some stuff. God damn it. So, yeah, because as we all know, I want to see all of my friends fuck. I just do. I will bring us that much closer together. I promise you.
Okay.
But I would, you know, so I'd go down the hall because I noticed that he and this lovely lady grabbed a room at the end of the hallway. I'm like, you're not going to fucking hide from me. You're not going to hide from me.
Everybody tries to hide at some point.
And of course, you know, this.
And she's like a fucking rat with cheese.
Well, but there was hardwood floor. So of course you could hear me coming. Like I was just like, fuck, man, damn it. And so I would go and I'd peek like, oh, wait, they're still like doing like pre-sex stuff. So I'm gonna walk away. I'll come back.
They're warming up.
Yeah, yeah. And I did it like, I think maybe like twice or something.
I did it a couple times too. And I'm like, fuck. And I did it. And then like she saw me and started giggling. I'm like, God damn it. That seems like that was bad. I mean, bad timing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But let's hear from the man himself.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to say some about his experience as a non-swinger.
Right, right. And I mean, it'd be nice for everybody to hear, you know, what it's like to go for the first time.
Yeah, and it was a nice, nice small party, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, this is definitely vanilla zone. So I'm warning your listeners that this comes from a guy that's never been to a swinger party before. But yeah, I mean, me and Eileen went there. I didn't really know what to expect. I had some preconceived notions about what a swinger party was, and I guess
everybody does.
I guess in my mind, you know, I think about like TV shows I've seen with swinger parties or whatever, where you go there, you find someone who's willing to have sex with you, and then you kind of go off by yourself and you know, have sex and fuck. But I did not realize that there was a voyeur aspect to it.
Yeah.
I did not know that part. I didn't know that.
It's pretty huge.
and it makes sense. I mean, I understand it. But initially, myself and Eileen went back to the bedroom and we're like, oh, cool. We're just going to come back here and we're going to fuck at this party and close the door and lock it and, you know, good times.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the advantage of having sex with somebody you can have sex with any place?
Well, that's
in somebody else's place where nobody's watching you.
I completely understand what you're saying. And it did not make sense. But at the same time, that was just kind of what I thought.
Okay.
I thought people came here, they found a compatible sex partner, and then they did their own thing. The voyeur thing makes sense. I'm not arguing with it. It's
live
just
porn.
Yeah, exactly. So we went in there, closed the door, locked it. We started to get into it. And then, you know, 2-3 minutes later, the head of the household kind of knocked on the door. And rightfully so. She was kind of like, what are you guys doing? You know, like, why is the door closed and locked? And so we opened the door.
We're stealing all your valuables.
we opened the door and you know... we're playing by the rules, but yeah, I mean, both of us were going back and forth and we're just like, you know, one of us was like, nah, fuck this. And then the other one was like, nah, let's just do it. And it went back and forth like that a few times. I mean, you guys really had your timing off because we were doing things, with the door open.
Could you send us a text next time?
Okay, yeah. next time I'll alert the girls. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting and it was fun. And I'm glad that we did it. But yeah, I mean, you know, as being a vanilla in that scene and never going to a swinger party before, I didn't really know what to expect. So we kind of jumped headfirst into it.
And, yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And this is one thing that I'm kind of proud of is that I think we were at least the first ones to do something.
That is so true.
You know,
right?
I think that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the other parties are like or I have no reference, but you know, I was a little proud that, you know, we were kind of looking at each other like, everybody's outside just kind of chilling and hanging out, and we're at this swinger party. Like, what are we supposed to do? It makes sense to us. Let's just go back in the room and do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, at least I felt like we were the first ones. And you know, I went down on Eileen a little bit, and you guys missed that. And then, you know, we did actually have sex at the party, but everybody missed it, I think. Yeah. And it was very quick because I think Eileen got a little self-conscious because she heard some footsteps, and then it was like we just stopped. Yeah.
Well, and that's an interesting point is that if you are not accustomed to being an exhibitionist, if that isn't something that gets you off, performance is going to be an issue. It just is on both parties. It's going to be an issue because you'll be paranoid on some level. It's just
well, and even with you. I mean, you had a partner with whom you have awesome sex with.
Yes,
and it was his first time being at a swingers party.
Yes,
and he also had some difficulty.
Oh yeah, it was it was cute.
So the toward the end of our stay at the party, you know, we were kind of both like, okay, like, we're probably not going to be, you know, fucking in front of a crowd of people.
But there was the main mattress.
Which you had a performance on, right? there was some fisting going on.
There was fisting, and there were people that brought out chairs. It was fantastic.
Kind of gathered around.
Yeah, like, it was the main event.
That's great.
I mean, it was, you know what? It was a fisting. It was a vagina gifted to me for my birthday. So, hey.
That's a really nice gift.
After she got her birthday spanking.
Which really fucking hurt.
Oh, come on.
And myself and Eileen were actually peeking at the spanking out the window of the room that we were in. So we did see a little bit of the spanking out there in the yard, the backyard.
Yeah. And I spanked you right near the laundry, so I thought you would appreciate that.
I did appreciate that, thank you. Would you come again? Would you come to a
swingers
party again?
I would. I mean, I think everybody there was cool. Everybody was nice. I mean, yeah. there was a few, you know, as Eileen being my girlfriend, there was a few guys there that I felt like were looking at her, and it was like, I'm gonna fuck this chick tonight. Well, like,
she's a pretty good looking girl.
Yeah, of course.
She's a pretty girl. But I mean, but that's generally you come to a party with a partner because your intention is to share.
I understand that.
They were probably looking at her to like a piece of meat. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, but not that it is necessarily a meat market. I mean,
No. I mean, obviously, but. A man is going to identify that look in a man's eye, whereas the man that's giving that look is going to alter it when a woman is looking at him.
And there was a few guys there, and I looked in their eye, and they were like, I came to the right fucking party when they looked at Eileen. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. I admire that, and, you know, I do feel that she's very beautiful, so it makes sense. But, you know, my first time, so it was a little weird.
Yeah, so sharing is weird. I get that. And some people never cross that bridge. Some people are never comfortable with sharing.
Right. So. And but at the end of the night, before we left, Eileen comes out and she says to Nancy specifically, he couldn't get it up. And that fucking bothered the shit out of me because that wasn't true. I was totally getting it up. I was good.
That is fucked up shit.
But, you know, she made a joke and it was a total joke and it was cool and I get it. But we were totally fucking. And then we stopped.
She made a funny.
She did. But, you know, it's one of those kind of funnies that guys like take
don't
personally.
Well, you know, like, well, we like you and your penis.
Thank you.
A lot.
Thank you.
I didn't see your penis, but it's attached to you and I like you. So how's
exactly
that?
Perfect.
Which means
you.
I like his anus as well. How's
oh,
that?
Oh, fuck.
Wow. Wow.
I don't want to leave
totally
it out.
Wins.
Can I like his balls and his taint too?
Oh, my God.
I'm going to keep it real, Jeremy. I like all of you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
And it's funny, too, because Eileen goes, well, what would you have rather said, that we were back there fucking? And I'm like,
yes,
of course.
Yes. It's a swingers party.
That is always the answer.
Yes. And then, of course, everybody's like, fuck, I missed it. They'd be all jealous and shit.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the better answer.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's the vanilla perspective on my first swinger party.
Groovy.
Well, thank you very
much. Thank you.
Groovy.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. I'd like to see him next time. I like to watch.
Oh,
yeah. You know, I want to see this shit.
Yeah.
And he's got something to prove now, so. And now I have to see his taint because I expressed that
because,
I love it.
So. Yes, so you clearly should see what you love.
Exactly. I have to because I don't want to be a liar. It's really important.
But it was a good, you know what? It was a good party, though.
It was a good party.
We had a really good mix of people. And, I mean,
yeah,
there was action going on till pretty late in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And some, you know, and here's the interesting thing, and this is what I think people find surprising about swingers parties, even though this is not our topic for the night and we're changing the subject momentarily.
Yes.
Is that it's a party. First and foremost, it's a party. There just happens to be sex at the party. Mm-hmm. So you can have a fantastic time chatting with people, getting to know people with, you know, even without the sex. So,
right.
But of course, the sex is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta lie about
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, cats and kittens. Let's like get into the topic. What's our topic? I'm still looking for that fucking picture. is pet play. So now the biggest question is, what is pet play?
An awesome thing to do. Okay.
So is getting a massage. So.
Yes, but a massage does not provide you with the release that pet play does.
What? Wait, because a massage is pretty releaseful.
Okay, I guess.
How about a non-bottom?
So pet play provides the kind of emotional and I guess psychological release that I guess you could find in a massage. I don't know. But it allows you to kind of shed this outer coat, if you will, of things you're supposed to do, the way you're supposed to act. You get to be someone that you don't, it's not only that you get to be someone that isn't you, you get to not have to follow these, you know, societal rules of that humans are supposed to follow. You can piss on something and it's okay because you're a dog or whatever the fuck.
You can eat out of a bowl and it's okay.
And it's okay.
You can hump a leg
and it's okay.
It's quasi endearing.
And we were talking on the way over here about how, you know, for us, it's also a very big component with humiliation. But for other people, it's just a lot of fun. And I think what what intersects from those two views is the release, at least for the bottom, because you don't have to think. It's not even that you don't have to do anything. You just don't have to use your critical thinking skills. You can just fucking let loose.
So much in the way that a lot of people go to pro doms for the release from physical pain, the endorphin rush that they get from whatever kind of play it is that they're getting, that there is a very similar release, but mostly psychological, when you do pet play.
Yes.
Can you describe what it feels like?
Oh, it feels like you're jumping on clouds.
What?
Like, well, okay, let me just go, follow me here for a second. Imagine the bluest sky you could ever imagine. And those fluffy white clouds, like on it, like after it finishes raining, after it's all cleared. And you know how clouds are white and super fluffy?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine.
Toy Story clouds.
So, yeah. So imagine you're on one of those clouds and it's so perfect and soft and you're bouncing from cloud to cloud to cloud to cloud to cloud. It brings me that kind of zen.
Wow. Now, okay. When you're playing fetch?
Well, we haven't played fetch in a really long time. So.
But I'm asking, like, you know, yes, when you are at my feet and I'm petting you like a dog and you're on a collar and leash, that happens. But I'm talking about even in other times, you still get that same kind of zen?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because it's like my mind draws a complete blank. Complete. I don't have to worry about anything except being at your fucking feet.
All right.
That is all I have to do. That brings me the greatest joy ever. What's wrong? You're having difficulties?
I want it to turn. Why won't it turn?
This can turn independently. It's just a little bit. There you go.
That was really bothering me. Now I feel better. All right, good. Because it's really a unidirectional mic. Sorry, people. It's not omnidirectional. And so therefore, you really do have to be speaking directly into it, not from the side like this. You say that sounds different. And when I go like this, sounds different. Help them. Welcome to Mic 101, kids. How you doing? All right, I'm back. And what kinds of pet play have you seen that appeal to you the most?
Man, you know, I would say that the most common ones that are out there are definitely puppy and kitty. There's, you know, piggies. There's ponies. There's any animal you can think of. I mean, but those are really the common ones. And your question was what? You were asking me what type I've seen, but that was the second part to the question.
That has appealed to you.
That has appealed to me?
Correct.
Definitely puppy, a little bit of the kitten, and the bunny.
The bunny.
But I mean, like, I think about how, because sometimes, you know, you talk about my personality and how you see me more as a bunny.
Well, but, I mean, you could be a chihuahua.
But see, the thing is that I see, I don't really see like my personality traits in an animal. Like it's not like I'm picking an animal like my fucking spirit animal or anything like that.
Really?
Really.
Huh.
Like that's not what it is for me. I don't, you know, that's why when I say that I identify as a pup, it's not so much because I see myself playful like a puppy. It's that concept of that brings me the most peace.
Okay. I could see that. I can accept that as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, I mean, what have you seen?
Wow. Puppy, kitty, bunny, piggy, bunny slaughter, horse, wolf, if that's different from dog, puppy. Yeah, well, it's definitely not puppy. It's more of a dog. Interspecies play, where it's like a playpen of animals, of different animals playing together, and they're whatever animals that they are. I've seen a lot of it, you know, and I've seen really formal pet play, like especially the pony play.
Yes.
Where they have like full, like regalia, like full.
It's so pretty.
It's really beautiful. It's like formal wear for pet play, you know? I mean, it's really impressive, but it's definitely, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Now, let me rewind just a little bit, Because for those people where this sounds like, oh my God, like this is, this sounds weird.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what step one of pet play is. A collar and a leash. If you like the idea of having a collar put on you with a leash, or you like the idea of putting a collar on someone with a leash, that's really kind of the gateway to pet play. Now, we were having a really interesting conversation on the way over, and it was about, I believe that pet play's origins are in humiliation. And you said, no, you didn't quite agree with that because of there's this massive pride component for those that are such beautiful pets, the beautiful ponies and the regalia, the beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, dogs and bunny, the really beautiful animals, essentially. And my point was, it's still ostensibly humiliation because you are lowered below a human. You can be the prettiest fucking horse in the goddamn room. You're still a fucking horse. So to me, that still qualifies under humiliation. Now, for example, you said, you know, you don't Ooh. Have to, you don't have to be into humiliation in order to enjoy it. And I said, look, here's an example. The concept of putting collar and leash on me? No, because humiliation of me does not appeal.
Right. Though with your example of, you know, being the prettiest horse in the room, is there someone in that room humiliating that horse?
You don't have to be actively humiliating. You've already debased them by putting them below the standard of a human.
No, because in my mind, when we're talking about pet play as being a form of humiliation, it's because someone is humiliating that person. Someone is putting them in the position where they are less than human. It is not humiliating when you do that to yourself.
I disagree wholeheartedly. It's still humiliation play when you put yourself in the position when you and I are playing. It's still humiliation.
Right, but you...
Because you crave it and you enjoy it doesn't make it any less of humiliation. It's still humiliation. Just because somebody craves and enjoys dressing up like a pretty pony doesn't mean that it's not still a sub point of humiliation. You can be, you know, the proudest fucking pony there is. You're still a fucking pony. See what I'm saying? It still is humiliating.
I'm not 100% agreeing with that.
That's cool. We don't have to agree on it.
No. Unfortunately, I don't know how to, because I love it as humiliation. And I'm trying to argue the point that not everybody loves it as humiliation. And so I can't really say from that perspective.
I have to let you know that everybody that I've met that does it, there is a component that started as humiliation. They at some point enjoy humiliation. That's how it began. Now, yes, they can take it to great lengths and great extents and become, you know, really well known within their field, and they want to win whatever pony and buggy. You know, for example, we can look at the Sleeping Beauty series by Anne Rice. There's a lot of pony play in there, but it really is humiliating. Although they still, like, there's races and they have to win, and they want to win. And when they win, they're rewarded, but they're still only ponies. You see what I'm saying? I burped. I'm sorry. I don't get the setup here. That's just my point. I mean, and again, I would love to be educated further on that, but that's just in my experience and what I've known and the people that I've spoken with. There's always that nugget of humiliation, again, because you are dehumanizing someone, or they are choosing to be dehumanized. For your point about it being a psychological release, whether they choose to do it or whether they don't, it's still dehumanizing.
Yes. You're right.
That's just what I have to say about that.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. And I mean, we are both on the same page where as humiliation, that shit fucking rocks. My socks. I just know, I mean, we know obviously of, you know, of one person who, of course, is very proud.
Yes, she's a very beautiful pony.
Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, I see pride, and I guess I have a really hard time reconciling that with that person also feeling humiliated at the same time. How do you feel prideful and humiliated at the same time?
How do you feel when I dress you up like a doll?
Oh, I feel so pretty.
But you still know you're just a doll.
Yeah.
So you still find solace in that mindless, dehumanized role, but you still feel pretty.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same thing. It's still humiliation.
Well, good point.
But you're pretty.
Yes.
Is it starting to click a little bit now?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Same concept. And that's what we call educating. I'm kidding.
You're just making shit up.
Shh, don't tell anybody. Oh.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I mean, so for... Obviously, there are people. I mean, I went to a pet play party, which is, I mean, people had the most beautiful outfits you can imagine.
I was so jealous because you went and I couldn't go.
I know. There was a woman there who had this fantastic horse outfit. I mean, she was in basically a black unitard, and she had made these, or she had on these huge like black boots that were like supposed to be like hoofs, and she had put hoofs on her hands, and then this massive like headpiece was a black horse. She was just gorgeous. It was the most beautiful, like massive, like she was at least 6 foot something, maybe with the headpiece, 6 foot five as a horse. It was, you know, very impressive, but it was, you know, a really extensive, very expensive ordeal for her to create this outfit. I don't want people to think that's all pet play is.
Mm-mm.
I mean, for example, most people, and again, as a subset of humiliation, most people that enjoy the collar and leash component also enjoy being forced to sleep at the foot of the bed, on the floor, maybe even eating out of a bowl, maybe not being allowed to sit on furniture, maybe being on speech restriction. Any and all of those things can be incorporated into pet play without having, you know, a massive amounts of equipment or clothing or, you know, outfits. Now you can add to it with, you know, like a Crystal Toys bunny butt plug or whatever, you know, if you wanted to, or a piggy tail butt plug, or all of those things you can add to them as it goes on. If that's something that appealed to both parties, obviously, or even if you're just a free range sub to your party, hey, I'm gonna stick shit up my butt. Bam, bam, you know, sounds like fun.
Yes, that is true.
You know, and I want it to be clear that, like in all play, you can go as far as you want. I know that there are some people that go as far as to veterinary play, and they sexualize their pet play, you know, which is not my thing, but there are some people that definitely enjoy that, which is, hey, rock it. You want to, you know, you want to do a gynecological exam of your animal? Okay. That's what you want to do, you know? You can do kinky CrossFit.
Wow.
Where you've got the medical play and the sexualized pet play. You know, some people want to go that far. And again, as the bottom, you're still in that animal headspace where you don't have the liberties of speech and the liberties of free thought. It's still all, you're just not fully there.
So, you asked me what's in it for me. Well, what's in it for you as a top for pet play? What do you get out of it?
You know, it honestly depends. For sometimes it's the easiest kind of play. Honestly, sometimes, I mean, if you're a lazy top, try pet play, because it's one of those places where the sub actually does all the work, believe it or not, where they kind of get into the role, and they, you know, either they're on all fours or whatever the animal is. And for example, there've been times when you've been on all fours and you've been at my feet and I've pet you, and I don't have to worry about, is somebody touching her? Is somebody talking to her that's going to upset her? Is she going to walk up to me and be very anxious about something? I don't have to worry about any of that, because I know where you are. I know where your head is. You are in a safe place at that point, because you're in, you know, puppy space. And I don't have to worry about that. So for me, my entire mind does, it can be taken off of that. And I can just focus on whatever conversation I'm having and be totally focused on that. And when I'm in a dungeon, I'm almost never totally focused on that, because there's always a component of, where's Nancy? Is everything okay? Is something freaking her out? That's always there. Because, you know, you have some anxiety.
Yes.
So it's one
and
of those
things. And they wander around whenever we're at a dungeon.
And then I, you know, come back to me and I'm like, and you come back like, hide behind my skirt. And I'm like, what the fuck? What happened? You know, so, but I don't have to worry about that when you're just at my feet. It's also a very lighthearted play. I don't have to, I don't have to worry about what implement I'm using. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to hit. I don't have to worry about wearing out your ass or your tits or, you know, oh my God, you know, is she going to safe word? Those kinds of things. A lot of that. I mean, obviously somebody could safe word during pet play. I've never personally seen it, but somebody could do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I could, you know, throw a ball around and make you do it, throw you a jar of peanut butter and make you lick out of it. You know, where you're, you know, one time I had it where your hands were duct taped and you had gloves on. So you didn't have the use of opposable thumbs. Opposable thumbs, not there. You know, it's one of those things where it's a lighthearted play. It's very, you know, fun and enjoyable, and it's frolicky and frivolous, which is very nice, as opposed to most of the play that I do is majorly intense.
Yes.
You know, I've got that look of serious focus, which I don't mind because obviously I'm a top. I enjoy it very much. I get that super top space. But sometimes, you know, hey, if I can laugh and enjoy myself and still get top space, bonus, you know.
Do you get top space from pet play?
Not when I'm just petting you. You know what I'm saying? But when we're like actually doing something, interacting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get to do a couple of those minorly sadistic things. Oh, go get the ball or play, you know, tug of war with you. You're wet. Mm-hmm. It's radio. You need to talk. You know, I mean, it's one of the ways that I described hot space for me is that it's a playground of creativity. When I hit hot space, ideas just flow and flow and flow and flow. My mind doesn't stop. So that has and is achieved during those moments of playful pet play, because I get to. It's just in a very different way. Instead of like really an intense, sadistic kind of top space, it's this, and we could do 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 this. You know, it's just jumping around from cloud to cloud, like you said, just in a very different way. It's not peaceful.
Isn't that the most like awesome visual ever though?
Yeah, it makes me think of My Little Pony. I'm bad.
So earlier you said, how, the like doorway into pet play is that collar and that leash.
Right.
So, I mean, as a top, like, where do you get, cause you're really creative. So you come up with things just, you know, on the whim. But right. What would you say to someone who is not as creative as you that wants to engage in pet play with their bottom?
Go to PetSmart. Go to PetSmart and look at the shit that they have. I swear to God, you can be like, and look at it and think about if you can incorporate that into dealing with, you know, a person. Look, a human being can chew on a rawhide bone. It's not going to kill them. They may not like it. Not going to kill them. But you might want to get one of those little rubber ones if you want to do tug of war with them. You might want to make sure their teeth are strong enough to handle it. Get the back teeth, kids, you know, that kind of thing. But go to a PetSmart or whatever pet shop you have around you. Everybody has different pet shops. Sentinella Feed, you know, whatever it is. Which is probably only local to us.
Probably.
And then look at like the pet toys that they have. Different things can give you different inspiration. You know, you can go look at the collars, because some of the collars are really, really pretty, and the leashes. And then, of course, my favorite is the engraved name tags. I have one that has, you know, my name, and on the other side it says pet, you know, miss my name, pet. And, I, you know, you could just look at that or just go watch dogs play or cats play or whatever it is. See how it is that they interact. And I would suggest you do that with your partner. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have pets of your own, that isn't going to be an intrinsic known value to the bottom.
Right. And on that note, I was going to chime in and say, you know, as a bottom, you know, how do you tell your top, hey, let's do this. And I think because I come from it with the motivation of humiliation, it might be a little bit harder if that's also your motivation. wanting humiliating things is not always easy to say. It's not always easy to admit to, especially if it's something that you feel like you'll get ridiculed for.
So humor is a really good way to introduce anything, especially in a post 50 Shades world. It's a post 50 Shades world, so everybody knows what like BDSM is. And fuck, they had pet play on goddamn Bones like 5 seasons ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like this is something. And it's not just been on, I mean, but that's a major network TV show. It's been on other things on like USA and other networks as well. I mean, it's fringe, but knowledge of it is not necessarily that fringe.
And if you saw This Is The End over the weekend,
go see This Is The End.
You'll know exactly what we're talking about when we say Channing fucking Tatum. Dude.
Go see that movie. We're going to go see it again. Dude. Anyway.
But that's just that. But anyways.
I need a moment. Anyway, back.
Even I need a moment.
Right? Right? You're like, I'll go straight for him for that moment. Never in my life have I wanted to be Danny McBride until now.
Right? I'm sure.
Anyway, I had a point. Fuck. Oh, so humor. And this I get a lot. When you're trying to feel out people to be kinky in general, I get this from like the OKCupid guys all the time. Like, you know, they'll joke like, oh, well, if you wanted to put a collar and leash on me, I'd be okay with that. And I come off like, cool, what color do you want? And they're like, what? Well, I have like 4 different. So do you want the pink? Nah, you want like the leather one, don't you? Cool, with you. It's fine. And they're like, wait, what? Ha, jaw drop. Because I am kink friendly. But if it's like, if you want to put a collar and leash on me, you know, that'd be fine. And then if they go, oh my God, like who would do that? You know, then you know. Fuck.
Yes.
I guess that's a no. I guess I'm having vanilla sex tonight.
Oh my goodness.
Or they come back with, oh, no, but you can put it on me. Okay, then you know that too.
So when you take this trip to PetSmart, Petco, or your pet supply store of choice, you might think, when you're looking around at all these things, you might think, hey, how fucking humiliating would it be if I made my bottom eat dog food? Forget about the fact that it's humiliating. It's highly unsafe. Chewing on something is one thing, but actually eating food that is like designed for dogs and not human consumption is not okay. It's not, no, it really is not okay.
It's not okay. However.
No. But I'm not saying in the sense like, oh, okay, that's like a limit. No, it's like, it is genuinely unhealthy and can be harmful to you.
So I ate cat food as a kid because my sister dared me to.
Oh my fucking God.
So my sister dared me to eat cat food.
Of course.
You know my sister, so of course. She didn't think I'd do it. And of course, you know me, of course I did it. So I grabbed, you know, some of the dry cat food and put it in my mouth and chomped on it. And then my sister's like, ew, oh my God, you ate the cat food. And I was just like, damn right. Well, I didn't say damn because I was too young. I don't know, I was probably 7 or 8. And then I scooped up a thing of cat food and walked around, popping it into my mouth, eating the cat food. Just to prove to my sister that ain't no big deal. Ain't nothing but chicken wing. Ain't nothing but my Friskies.
So what you may want to use as an alternative is any kind of food that you can mash up. Like, you know, if it's meat, you know, just grind it up into smaller pieces.
Hot dogs, which by the way, cats don't like, as I discovered the other day when I ran out of cat food.
Oh my fucking God, your ADD is out of fucking control. Holy shit.
It's all focus. You know what? I've listened back to the episodes when you said I was all ADD, and that's focus.
Oh,
you said mashed up food, and I said hot dogs, and we were talking about pets, and I said, which by the way, the cats don't like because I fed them to my cats when I ran out of food, and that didn't work for them. I'm just saying it's all part of the same thing. You just can't keep up. It's not my fault. All right, carry on. So you want to smash up food that's human food for the people to eat in the bowls.
That was exhausting.
Imagine trying to be in my head.
I don't want to. So that's a good alternative to, you know, Purina or you know, Beneful. Don't give your human bottom dog food, please. Another thing to also consider is if your bottom
what
is...
What if it's that super awesome organic dog food that's only made out of like, you know, the best shit? That you like it in the refrigerated section of like the hoity-toity dog place.
I love you.
I just
said no. No.
Take away all my fun.
So another thing you also want to consider is if your bottom is on all fours for a long period of time, that can also result in some pain.
Yeah, I mean, knee pads are not a bad investment. Mm-hmm. If that's a kind of play you're going to do on a consistent basis. And special gloves are not a bad investment. You know, having your wrist in this position where it's coming at a 90 degree for extensive periods of time can be very painful for the wrist. Not to mention if you have somebody who has, let's say, wrist issues such as, you know, carpal tunnel, or maybe even elbow issues such as, you know, tennis elbow, which, you know, they're both essential. Well, carpal tunnel is in tendonitis, but the elbow is tendonitis. Anyway, point being, figure out a way that it can be done. Also, ensure that you are having communication that is acceptable within the play. You know, sometimes, like your dog or your cat, like, hey, your dog, trust me, your dog or cat, when they're uncomfortable, they're going to get comfortable. Wherever, whenever, they're going to get comfortable. If they're done and tired, unless they're a pet, you know, unless they're for some sort of a show dog. If they're getting tired of standing, they're going to sit. If they're getting tired of sitting, they're going to lay down. Mm-hmm. If they want to be on your lap, they're going to jump on your lap. If they're my cats, they'll never, ever give you a moment's peace. I'm just saying. So if ensure that you are communicating with your other half, whether you're the bottom or you're the top, to make sure that from the animalistic perspective, that there's still comfort, that you're not damaging yourself.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if your pet play is resulting in some sort of way that your bottom's ability to speak is somehow...
muzzled?
Yes. Come up with...
I want a muzzle.
I want that too. What? Come up with an alternative way for your bottom to let you know that something is either really, really, really wrong or that they need help in some way.
Yeah, you know, like stamp, you know, two times, you know, if that's what it is, or mm-hmm. those kinds of things. Something that would also be very in the same vein as that an animal would do. Keep it within the construct of the play. You might as well, because obviously you still want to have safe words, mm-hmm. but... You know, try. No sub likes to be pulled out of subspace.
Nope.com.
Because they are uncomfortable, even though they know they can go longer. They're uncomfortable with one thing, but they can do more, just not necessarily that one thing. Does that make sense? You know, like beating the ass. You can't be walking around on your hands anymore, but you can happily lay down, you know, for whatever reason.
Right.
So no sub wants to be brought out of subspace and have the scene end because there's one thing, but they could have done some sort of alternative to continue the play. That's what the yellow was for, essentially. So make sure that you have these predetermined things negotiated out before you begin these scenes and these plays, so you understand what's the best way for the two to continue the scene or the scenes. You know, or maybe that's just how you live. Somebody walks in the house and they turn into a dog. You know, you want to make sure that they're safe.
How fun would that be?
Well, dogs can't hold a broom.
Well, that's true. That is true.
A broom holding dog. It would be interesting.
One can wish.
One can wish.
For all of the things.
Greedy.
I am greedy.
Would you really like that? Like what? To just walk in and all the time. When you know, like in a 24/7 situation, you are an adult and you're Nancy and you're out doing your thing. When you're outside of the house, you get into the house and bam, you're a pet.
I can't say for sure because I haven't even had like one day of that. So
right. Well,
I don't know. The idea of it sounds amazingly relaxing. But
I think it would wear thin.
Well,
I know I couldn't do it as a top.
It might, absolutely. And that's the thing. It's not just my answer. It's both our answers because we're both engaging in it. You know, I think that it would add more burden to you. And that's not the road we want to go down.
No. Let's not do that.
We don't want to go down that road. So, I mean, as awesome as it would be for me, I think it would stop being awesome for you a lot quicker than it would be for me.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know what time it is.
Dork.
What?
You can't see.
I can't. Who are you over there? See you.
Hi.
This probably doesn't translate to radio very well. Sorry.
Well, you forget that people can see us.
Only if they're there seeing it. Hi. If they're not there seeing us, then they can't see us.
Well, then they would need to go on to live stream in order to see us. They're lost, man. They're
That's
lost.
True. They would. That's all true. Hey, wow, look at that. I adjusted the headphones and I sound better. Shit, I'm learning all these sorts of things. That was an ADD moment. That's
okay.
fine.
Yes, yes. But yeah, you know, I mean, I guess I haven't had it for an extended period of time. It's really hard for me to really know what it would be like, you know? I mean, I think that in the times that we have had it, it's been, what, for not even an hour? Not even more than 2 hours, really.
Yeah, I mean, at most, I think it's been just a little over an hour. And that's usually when you're just kind of laying down.
Yeah. I don't know what anything else is like. But I know that for that hour, it's bliss. It is just fucking flatlining almost, but not really,
not
obviously.
Like, not like dying.
No, but just flatlining in terms of like thought.
All right.
It's kind of nice.
I feel that.
Is Sleepy Mistress sleepy?
I'm good. I have homework to do later.
Wait, no. Well, no, you don't.
Oh my God, I don't have homework to do later. No. We're going to a party.
And we're going to fist
and
someone.
And you're fisting a friend.
I'm fisting a friend because
fisting
she...
Fisting with friends.
Yeah, because she'll be... Is that a new app that I can download on my phone?
You have to build it.
Fisting with friends. Yeah, no, we're doing a demo in a few weeks and she kind of wanted... On fisting and she...
And she's going to be the demo bottom.
Yeah, and so she kind of just wanted a practice round.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Well, sure, why not?
No
we'll
problem.
Do
that.
This. Yeah. Just a regular Wednesday night.
That's right. Just saying, we're stopping for coffee. What'd you do on your hump day? Fisted someone.
Yeah.
You? Cool. Yeah. So we're gonna do that tonight. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
I'm
it will
excited
be fun.
To see this party as well.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Fancy
seeing you. Well, I'm here every Wednesday, actually. It's not that fancy. Also, we drove here together.
Oh, we did.
So there's that. What do we have coming up on the show?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what we have next week. I know that there's people that we want to have on.
And there are definitely topics that we want to discuss.
There are all of those.
But we love hearing from you guys.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because we can talk any week about all the shit that we want. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but we also like being there for our listeners. So there are multiple ways where you can reach us. You can tweet us. I'm at Service Slut.
And I'm at Insidious Muse.
And the show is at Kinkalectual.
Kinkalectual. And it's not that difficult to figure out.
Right.
Kinkalectual.
And you can review us on iTunes.
We are, Intellectual Kink on iTunes. If you happen to be listening there now, why don't you just give us a quick review and hopefully it's good. That's our preference.
Yeah. And, you know, and you can use any of those ways to let us know if there's something that you would really, really like us to talk about.
Please.
We're also both on FET.
FET, same names on FET. Makes mm-hmm. life easier. I have a website, same name. We really don't want to make your life challenging. Let's
no.
make your life easy.
We're here for you.
No, but we are because I mean, we're educators. So that's awesome in that. So yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we love hearing people's ideas about what they want us to discuss. If we don't have any subject matter knowledge, we'll seek it out from somebody who does, which, you know, I think makes us kind of unique because we're like, hey, we don't know shit. Let's have somebody on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at in the future
yeah.
of the show.
Yep.
You know, that there are two other shows here on Skid Row that have been featured as new and notable on iTunes.
Yes.
We're very proud of them.
We are. I mean, if you're listening to us through the Skid Row's website, please look at the other shows. The other shows that are on here are spectacular.
They really are.
And the people that do them are really fucking clever people.
They are. I told Jeremy you need to have another Skid Row party.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Another mixer.
Yeah, except I want to be really not sober this next time. I was way too sober last time.
Because people were stoned? Is that why you were too sober? Because people were stoned?
I had uncomfortable shoes.
Okay, there. Yeah, that's what it was.
I'll wear comfortable shoes. So yeah. It won't be a problem.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know what time. Are we done?
No, we're not done. We have... Look, it's up there. You see it?
36 seconds.
Oh, my God.
What? Get off my lawn!
Oh, God. Oh my God.
I've been this blind since I was 16. It's okay.
Embarrass us.
Please embarrass me. Hello.
Stop doing that.
Yeah. So again, you know, tweet us. I would say hit us up on Fet. She's going to answer you.
I am.
Service let. I've got like 63.
Oh my God.
Unanswered or unread messages in my Fet mail. So I don't know. I'm bad at that.
Oh my God. You're no.
Hit me up on Twitter or, you know, just text me because most of you guys know my number. I'm Eva.
All right. Have a good night.
We love you all.
Bye.
Bye.